Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Four Center podcast feed. That, checking my notes, makes me Ken Napzok.
I am Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I am Jennifer Landa.
The gang is all here. We are all here. The new year, 2023, is up and running, which means we've got some Star Wars news to discuss. A lot of rumors today, but it is breaking news from a long time ago. Before we do that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, maybe your Android, your Kindle, or MP3 player. Wherever you want to listen to books, I'm sure you can get it. So again, go to audibletrial.com/4center. A little bit later, we have a 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But let's, before we get to the news, which will be in just a couple of minutes, remind you that we have an ask going on. It's a big ask. It's an exciting ask because it's working, to quote young Anakin Skywalker, Joseph.
Yes, our current ask is to reach 7,000 subscribers on YouTube. We're doing a lot more stuff on YouTube. We have our monthly live Q&A, and we're going to be debuting a new show called Figure Fights, where we ask which character would win in a fight. Not the actual character, but rather the specific action figure of that character. And I lost many hours of my life this weekend looking at different action figures to pick out some of the matchups. So that's coming soon. We want people there to enjoy it, to join us there. So we're trying to get to 7,000 subscribers on YouTube. It was really working. like Anakin's pod race engines. And then it sputtered a little bit, also like Anakin's pod race engines. So we're in the good position now, Ken and Jennifer, of being underdogs. We're slowly crawling to 7,000. I think we can make it, but it's in doubt. We're crawling.
We'll get there. It's time to bring in some new eyes and ears to the Force Center world, which is part of the reason we're doing this. Also, it's just been fun. It's just been fun to unlock the cameras, show our faces a little bit more. Not that you can't see our faces other places, but it always was. I love the comments of, oh, this is what you look like. Like, oh, no, I you can find many videos of what I look like. Force Center fan and friend. It's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, Joseph is right. We are getting there, and we are challenging ourselves to ask all of you. So good stuff there. We're going to do our life and Star Wars adventure section here before we get to all those news bits. So Jennifer, we'll bring you in here first to catch us up on life and how Star Wars found it.
Star Wars, again, did not really find me, although The Bad Batch is out and I will be watching it today. But you know what I did? Ooh. I got caught up on Willow. Star Wars adjacent Lucasfilm. I love this show so much. And it was actually exciting to see that it had been trending on Twitter. And it seems like there is a larger fan base because I was getting kind of worried. I felt like, gosh, it doesn't seem like many people are watching it. There are a lot of people watching it who the show is resonating with, who are, you know, shipping characters and just getting into the nuts and bolts of it. I was so excited. And I really recommend it. The season finale is this week. The 7th episode, which just aired, is so good. It's just a fun fantasy show. You know, we don't have to worry about, was there a comic book in 19, whatever, right? It's just, I get to watch it and enjoy. And the acting and the camaraderie between the actors, if you follow them on Instagram, really fun to see.
Yeah, I want to jump in real quick there and do also a cheap plug for my show, Castly Talk, which we've been reviewing Willow. But shout out to Alden Diaz and Nikki Kumar kind of been leading that side of it because I realized, hey, this show doesn't connect with me as much as you. It's time to get you all on here who are connected. But the show has grown with me. The first episodes, it's like, okay, I see what they're doing. This last episode, episode 7, was one of my favorite things. It's been a lot of fun, and I really agree with you. The show knows what it wants to do, and that doesn't mean it's for everyone, and that's okay. And there is a performer, plays the character of Borman, excuse me, Umar Chattopadhyay is his name. I want to look him up here. Oh, I'm going to follow him on Instagram because he's playing this character Borman that belongs in Star Wars, or at least this performer belongs. I don't want to typecast anyone. He would be a perfect kind of scoundrelish Jedi trying to figure his way. Just a scoundrel smuggler himself. He's so funny and so great. And I'm just loving the show too. Mm-hmm.
That is great. I continue to be deeply Willow ignorant. Still have not even seen the film. I'm clearly going to have a Willow weekend where I watch everything in one go.
Yeah, that's great, Jen. Sorry, I cut you off there. I got excited. Wow. I think it's important not to let people know that, hey, if you love something, there are little pockets of love and appreciation out there if you want to find them.
Yes, absolutely. My dog, if you hear her caller, Mala Tobuk just entered the chat. Love it. Mala is a labradoodle in my world. But yeah, a fantastic show. Highly recommend it.
Perfect. And, two big paws up there from Molotoba, huh?
Yes.
Beautiful. Joseph, you were out here surviving the rain on the West Coast. Anything good this weekend?
Yeah, as we were talking about off air, I'll take the rain over the absolute pounding of wet, heavy snow in my homeland of Minneapolis, Minnesota. So the rain is not bothering me. It's been making it so I'm having, you know, lots of fun time inside. Star Wars was just some great adventures of just watching some great Star Wars and really enjoying it. I've got some scheduled stuff this week. I have a pitch when we would normally record our Bad Batch episode. So I watched the screeners that we're very lucky to have early of that third episode. And that episode's amazing. I can't wait to talk about it. I was just kind of, I always enjoy Bad Batch, but I was blown away by that third episode. Mm-hmm. So that was a great start. And then my wife was working late Saturday, and I was like, well, I could watch a movie, or I could finally do it. I could finally try to binge all of Obi-Wan Kenobi in one sitting. So I had a frozen pizza. I had some cherry whiskey. Had some action figure friends. And I watched all of it. In I paused for like 15 minutes to go find the whiskey about halfway through, and that was it. And man, was it great to watch it all in the flow. And I always love to watch things to, you know, discuss them and review them on the show and be a part of the cultural conversation. But it was really great to just watch the show the way I always watched Star Wars when I was, you know, a teen and a young adult, of just like, I've seen this. I know it. I know the parts I like. I know the parts I'd be like, I'm not sure about. And I just enjoy it. I just enjoy all the little moments. And I really enjoy the whole big picture show of Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it was great to just sit back and watch Moses Ingram's performance, all these just lovely Reva moments, so many great moments of just quality time with Kenobi. I like the show, but even if I didn't like the show, I'd be like, I'll watch this to just watch quality Kenobi moments.
Yeah.
There's a moment in episode 2 where there's like yet another problem on Dayu, and he's just got this great deep sigh and like, oh, man. That's it. That's life right there. In that Kenobi moment. There was a ton that I enjoyed getting to see it all now. I had forgot that Reva straight up asks Owen in the first episode, do you think you could defend your family from me? And I had just totally forgot how much of that was set up. How clear the arc is of what it means to be a Jedi. All sorts of great stuff really, really popped for me watching it like one long movie.
That's wonderful. I was texting with our friend of the show, former guest Billy Patterson. He was saying he and his wife, Allison, were doing a Star Wars rewatch, and for the first time ever, they're putting Kenobi into the mix, right? Ooh. And it just, from Revenge of the Sith, that just flows so nicely. And I got it without permission from Billy. I want to quote his a wife, Allison, who said, and again, she's not plugged into anything that's going on. She hasn't heard that the show's got, haven't you heard, bad writing, bad acting, and Joby Harold never watched the prequels, was a short that popped up for me this weekend. She said, this is pretty remarkable that this exists. It's awesome. And to me, that's the thumbs up that we need. So love that. Love that you got to do that, Joseph.
Yeah, I enjoyed it so much, and I have many thoughts, but I'm going to edit myself now because we have other Star Wars things to talk about, but it was a really great experience. I really loved it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. My weekend experience was different. I was going to come in here, and I was going to roll up my sleeves and really upset some people. I'm going to pull off a little bit, though, here. I spent hours. I watched like 9 votes of the Speaker of the House votes. I had C-SPAN on. I watched, and that's like 400 names the clerk's got to read. I watched.
Were you playing Fortnite at the same time?
Yes. For one of them, me, our buddy Ken Plume, and Hal Lublin, we had it all on in the background. We were just playing Fortnite, a bunch of 40-year-old men playing Fortnite. In the background, you just hear, you know, all names being called out, and McCarthy, Jeffries. But at the end of that, and when it all happened after the 15th vote, I was watching, I was watching 2 different speeches and how they connected to light side, dark side energy in Star Wars that we study a lot on. And I was just reflecting on how we have dug in deep into Star Wars the last few years, how it's changed a lot of my own perspectives, and how you can kind of, I don't know, now you are Leo DiCaprio pointing at the screen going, you have energy that destroys. You have energy that's built on power and the craving of more power, and the difference versus building up inclusion moving forward. And I was going to go in deeper on that, Joseph and Jennifer. I was going to go in, maybe really upset some Force Center fans who are hanging on from one view of life, which is yours to have. And then the other thing happened. A friend of mine texted me a YouTube clip and said, have you ever seen this? And it was the bad lip reading of Yoda's and Luke's moment in Empire, the infamous Seagulls Stop It Please video, which is perhaps one of my favorite things in Star Wars. Bad lip reading videos are fun, and sometimes, you know, it's a joke that I can get tired of. But for whatever reason, that one, when it dropped back in 2017, was, it just got in. We would sit around a Collider. We're supposed to have this meeting every day at 9 a.m. And we would just watch that video until we were dying laughing, crime. And I hadn't seen it for years. And my friend, he's, again, a little unplugged. And he was like, have you seen this? I was like, oh, have I seen this? I've probably stopped work watching this. And so I had the 2 different sides, the deep and profound part of Star Wars that applies to real life. And then just laughing at Yoda singing about seagulls hitting them on the coconut. And I run, I could be your backpack while you run. And I just was like, you know what? I love living in this galaxy. It's all extremes. It's all sides and it's all fun. So that was my Friday, Saturday, Sunday into this morning.
This is pretty deep Star Wars adventures from the profound to the absurd.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need a laugh at Yoda singing about seagulls to maybe distract yourself from other things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's true.
So from all that, send your letters care of Catnav Socket Force Center. We are going to dive into the news here. And we will say, as we said last week and maybe last couple weeks, we get some more rumors to roll around in. We don't mind doing that. We try to avoid that. We try to wait for official news. One of the things you've heard us say, and we might say it again. In fact, I'm saying it now is, hey, be careful. Sometimes those rumors get treated as facts even months later. I forget the question. I was watching Alex and Molly Damon's Star Wars Explained Q&A video this weekend, and there was one question that popped up, and I was like, well, that's not a fact. That's just something that was reported. There's not going to be that series, or that's not going to be in the show. I can't remember exactly what it was. And no anger or shade at anyone asking the question. Just sometimes you have to remind ourselves. And I think even I fall into that sometimes of like, hey, that's happening, right? Oh, wait, no, that was just some report. It might not happen. So we're diving into that. Joseph, did I explain it once again? Okay.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Is Sean Levy, right? Is that?
That's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was the one that we talked about a lot where I think it's true that what Sean Levy himself is reporting that he's in talks. But remember, then we went to the Wikipedia page for Sean Levy, and on Wikipedia, it just said Sean Levy is making a Star Wars film. I think that's what we're talking about of like, yep, that kernel is true, probably that he's in talks to maybe make one. But then in our world, in our discourse, that becomes, yeah, the Sean Levy movie is for sure happening. When's it coming out? And that's the disconnect.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it even slides down to like, I was on my one of my streams the other day playing Fortnite on Twitch and talking about the Ahsoka series. And I just was like, wait, Thrawn is in it, right? Or is he not? Has he been cast or not? I don't remember. I don't know. It just seems as though he is because the internet wants it. We know we're kind of going to Rebels 2.0. So that's where it kind of gets a little murky. And we understand that. But we also want to dive into this stuff here more on the Damon Lindelof-led, Charmin Obed-Chinoy-directed Star Wars film. This news is coming out. Jeff Snyder, who a lot of us know from the Collider Schmodown Worlds, was reporting on this on the show Hot Mic, mostly just yelling into a microphone, that the Star Wars film will be casting what he describes as a POC, person of color, woman in the lead. He said that. POC, over. All right, I'll move on. And it's targeting a December 19th, 2025 release. He's operating off a tip and currently has no more information than that, which he did say. And it should be noted, Jeff was one of the first to report, if not the first to report on the Lindelof project even being a thing. So this is a rumor, but it very well might track. He is a movie news reporter. So we'll dive into the whole story here. Thoughts on a possible lead. Joseph, I'll bring in here. What do you feel? Save me. I'm drowning.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. We're both splashing around in the kiddie pool having fun. I believe on the show he reported a person of color, a man, and then I think said he had additional reporting after the fact and tweeted out that he was speculating that a woman would be cast. Yeah, I think much like we were just talking about, like from everything I know of his reporting, he has connections. And I have no doubt that the connection that he has told him this or he inferred this from the tip he was given. So I have no doubt that that kernel is true. But I think that's what I'm thinking about more and more with these rumors of like just because the individual quote, the individual perspective that one reporter might have got from one source might be true that second. It doesn't translate out to that's the whole picture and that is what will be, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's almost like, you know, hey, I've literally experienced tornadoes in the Midwest and I could report to you on the tornado from my house and my experience is true. It is not the entire picture of the storm and what happened across town because I don't know. It's my perspective. It's not the big picture. And I think that's the way I really want to take these, especially when it's somebody who's got a good track record and I'm sure their source is accurate in this moment. So that's kind of where I start with the nature of this reporting. I believe that this reporter's source believes that right now.
You get that in the t-shirt form. And what do you
Yes. Well, I have thoughts. So first of all, I go to like the timeline of things, right? So we know that they're working on the script. The script is obviously, I'm assuming, done. So then I think maybe they're having discussions right now. Who would we want to cast? Unless it's already in the script. It could be in the script that maybe that they want to have an actor of color based on the material itself. Or I don't know, if I was casting a Star Wars movie as a WOC and POC, I would say, let's have a POC in the lead role. Could be good. Could be interesting. This could just be discussions that are happening. Yeah. I imagine that if they are going to be starting the casting process, they're going to have a smaller group, perhaps, of actors that they're going to want to bring in. And I, having worked in a casting office, I'm sure it will say submit all ethnicities, quote, unquote. But they might already have a desire of what they want. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is I get a little troubled when things are, the headline is, POC, person of color, is slated as the lead of the next Star Wars movie. And it's just that. Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's important to share context. What does this mean? Why is this important? Why should this be celebrated? Because in my experience as a WOC, when I just share that news like that and just drop it, there's going to be a group of the fandom that's going to get really angry and riled up, mm-hmm. want to create campaigns, want to create reels and YouTube videos.
Get in their car and get angry.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Who are gonna rally against that? So already you're starting off on a negative foot. And I think we have to be careful. Like if you're gonna share that information, that's great. If that's really happening or that's what your source is telling you, great. I think it's important to follow up. Why is this a good thing? Mm. Why is this significant in the world of Star Wars? You know, why is this a smart business decision? I just think that it's almost feeding chum to the sharks if you don't provide some sort of context. And also we should, this people should remember, POC does not just mean a black actor. It can be, you know, I saw the list of names that people were throwing out on Twitter and they were all primarily black actors. Well, there's all sorts of POCs, right? It could be a Latino. It could be, Steven Yeun was somebody that came to mind. In my mind, I was like, oh, he'd be fantastic in a Star Wars movie. So there's many different races, ethnicities. So there's a lot there.
Yeah. I think if someone was, you know, slowing down when talking about it, they would understand the full scope of that, right? Right. And not just how certain phrases, words, titles, initials start to become, they get pigeonholed in the conversation, I think, sometimes. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, Jennifer, too, of just like pulling back in the whole picture when you're talking about it and why it's significant and what it could be. And it's not a buzzword for your reporting, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to say one quick thing. Yes, because whenever I have tweeted the word diversity on Twitter, I would get flooded with, they're not trolls per se, but they are people that maybe have that search like somehow enabled to where, bam, like within minutes, I get people attacking me. How dare you want to have diversity with your buzzword and your wokeness? And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to provide context, but you're just pouncing on me. You're not even really understanding what I'm trying to say because you have diversity that's like such a trigger word for you. And I feel like that's kind of what this feels like. It's just good, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry for laughing. I was just your example that, you know, I hate these woke people with their trigger words. Like, well, what is woke to you? Why are you searching for the word diversity to be upset about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had to laugh too.
Using it in your speech after you've lost for 14 votes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a big
If I could jump in with I think Jennifer, you're so right to talk about the why of it, right? That's what I think often when it's possible to diffuse anger and have a conversation and build understanding is because we can talk about the why and we can talk about humans and our shared experience and how, you know, diversity, seeing different viewpoints, also helps us celebrate not only what is different about us, but what is the same as about us, you know, the why. For me, that's what's valuable. And what is in all of this, our discussion of, do we trust this reporting? How is it reported? The glimmer that it's exciting to me is the why. Yeah. If this is all true, is Damon Lindelof seems to be on board as this, you know, executive producer who is shepherding this film through maybe more films. And again, if all the reporting is true, has selected a really interesting choice for a director, an incredibly accomplished human in Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy, who, again, if people aren't familiar, you know, go read her just Wikipedia entry. She has won multiple awards, including an Oscar for documentaries about issues of social justice for women in Pakistan. Damon Lindelof is coming off of running this room for the Watchmen that was, in my opinion, a very successful, insightful, powerful, important discussion of race in America. These creators, if we were to look at their most recent work, might want to be telling a story within the Star Wars galaxy that deals with the idea of diversity or, you know, inclusion or conflicts that come up because the people cannot find a way to see the humanity in one another. Any issues like those within the Star Wars galaxy, which to me are, they're a big part of Star Wars. So much of the theme of Star Wars is not judging people quickly, trying to find common ground, trying to work together, down to explicit storytelling about the Empire's, you know, straight up xenophobia. So it's not new to Star Wars that these ideas would be explored, but it's interesting to me that is that a part of the heart of the project because of where these creators are coming from?
Yeah, I love that. Taking every beautiful word both of you just said, you know, combine into this idea of it isn't just some checklist, check the box type of film casting to sit down with this crew, this movie that they're putting together, that whether it comes out on December 19th, 2025 or later, will have, I think, great purpose behind it. We just finished a series, Andor, that had great purpose behind it. And I would argue that all Star Wars series have great purpose behind it, playing with these themes. And so stopping to analyze this and on the possible lead, not just being a buzzword, both with, you know, this the POC, which is, you know, Jen, you touched on there, but also just the top five actors that you want to get cast in it. Like, you know, great, Jenna Ortega, great. She can dance in every Star Wars movie she wants. that's beyond the thing. And that's why I don't like participating in those kind of shows anymore, where it's just, it's so empty. It's so surface level stuff to me. And what you're talking about, Joseph, is getting me excited for this project. Watchmen is an important series that I tell you, I didn't even sit and watch it. I listened to most of it. Grace watched it. And it is a show that taught me a piece of history that I was never taught. And a lot of people cite that show as going, whoa, wait a minute. That was real. The Tulsa riots, the Tulsa massacre was real. I was never told that. And I think if they bring that same kind of energy, put in the Star Wars galaxy, there's a big important why behind the casting choices here. And by the way, no one on that show, Hot Mic, we're not saying that they're doing anything wrong. We're just saying that this spirals out of control from these kind of headlines, these kind of conversations, these kind of rumors. And unfortunately, you're going to always have angry guys in cars. Fortunately, you're always going to have people on YouTube and other social media platforms and digital media platforms riling everything up. But a lot of times, one of my big things is how you discuss these things, how you discuss these stories. You might not be leaving the door open, or you might not know it, but you're leaving the door open to a lot of those people to come in the back door to start setting fires. So we want to give the big picture there, if that makes any sense there.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, there's also just like there are a ton of actors that I like. So, you know, I don't want the conversation to just be this sort of betting pool of who's going to be cast. But for myself, as long as I'm trying to engage with it with the why of like, why would this, you know, is there a story reason that this phenomenal actor is there? Maybe there's not a story reason. And all that matters is this actor is phenomenal. And I'd love to see them in Star Wars. Right. You know, there's multiple ways to look at it. But I get excited, too, of like, hey, man, you know what? I hope this reporting is true because I want it to be personally Danai Gurira because I think she's phenomenal. And she's been one of my number one. I would love to see this actor in Star Wars for years. So like, I don't mind having that discussion of who could it be as long as it's not all the discussion is.
Yeah. When it gets too gamified.
Yeah.
I think that's what you and I have, over the years, have talked about as well. So there you go. That's not the end of the story, though. They went on to discuss, or Snotty went on to discuss, that kind of feels that the slate of movies will be announced at Celebration, which was something we talked about and I think did take bets on last week. So there you go. Full disclosure of everything we talk about. And so that's part of the discussion here. And I wanted to bring this up because this is one thing that could spin off, again, by no intention of those saying it. But there was this moment of that feels like to them on the show that Taika's movie is dead, that it just feels like that. And possibly Feige's film as well, that it could not be in the 2027 slot either. And that's been going around as well. And that stuff all kind of tracks in a way, but that's not a fact either. No one's come out and said it. And again, I don't think anyone on that show was saying it's a fact. Very clearly saying, it just kind of feels like there's no heat coming off these movies right now. But Joseph Evenoffer, you said a good point of, well, yeah, if Lindelof's taken off, if that project's taken off for 2025, and it seems like it is, you know, again, feels, that's not a fact, this would kind of make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a reporter, but here's my take just putting together the reporting of other people. Kathleen Kennedy said in last year's Star Wars Celebration Vanity Fair interview, big discussion with Anthony Bresnikan, that on the film side, she was really hoping for a sort of dedicated showrunner type. Name check the way Favreau and Filoni are running the Mandoverse, name checking the way Tony Gilroy is just like such a partner. He's the Rogue One Andor world. He's got it locked down in that Lucasfilm was close to maybe having some partners like that for the film side of Star Wars. So even that already suggested, like, we're not going to do the shotgun approach where three different people are making three different movies and we'll see what lands. But maybe we're going to go more toward kind of slowly building something. Taking that with the way Damon Lindelof has been running his career, where he is a showrunner, but he is also a showrunner who seems extremely interested in bringing in more voices and being a facilitator and truly being a partner to other creative voices is my take. Again, that's my opinion. But that just seems like it all lines up to Kathleen Kennedy found what she claimed she was looking for in Damon Lindelof, and that would make this movie the priority, and that would make Feige and Taika Waititi's movies in kind of limbo right now.
Yeah. Not for any salacious reasons either, just kind of the business of it all. Jen, any final thoughts on this, that, and the whirlwind of these rumors?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, Joseph, because that's what I love about Favreau and Filoni is that they have brought in other new directors or, you know, people into the Mandoverse. And as a result, that's how we got Deborah Chow for Kenobi. And so I could see that with Lindelof. Absolutely. And that's what they've been looking for. And I think that they found it. And that's exciting to me because I think that that's what people have been wanting is something, quote unquote, more cohesive, more connected in the film side of things. And if he's kind of like the shepherd or whatever, or an umbrella, I think that could be really, really exciting to see who is part of that team.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, all these rumors, all these stories, I think you said it earlier, Joseph, you, Jen, just said it right now. I'm very excited for what's cooking on this project. I can't wait for some official news. I can't wait for these folks to step out on a stage at a convention near you or far from us across the pond. I would be very excited to see what's going on. So that's at the end of the day. I can get a little grumpy on the rumors, get a little grumpy on the way some of the rumors are taken or reported on. But I'm excited that more Star Wars is on the way. All right. Well, we're not done yet. We're going to take a quick break on the other side of this. More news and, yes, more rumors. Have some fun with that. And we got some toy stuff as well. So stick around. But before we do, we got a little Force and I recommend. Joseph, an audiobook we think they should try out on us. What do we have?
That's right. We are recommending Star Wars, The High Republic, Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan. Soon, Ken and I will have an off-air discussion about when we're going to read this one.
Yes, we will. He's almost finished with his book on the election of 1912. So this is the time. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. Stick around. More Force Center coming up shortly.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Force Center. We are looking at Star Wars news and, well, you know, we're coming out of the big holidays. I wouldn't expect a bunch of concrete, solid news stories. We're playing around with some of the rumors out there. And we have this question. What is Ghost Track 17? Here we go. Reading from the fine folks at Star Wars News Net, Miguel Fernandez put the story together. Shout him out because I do not have a subscription to Production Weekly, and they are the source of this rumor. So according to the people who paid for a subscription to Production Weekly and then poked the info on the Reddit thread Star Wars Leaks. Got it. A new Favreau and Filoni produced show with the production codename Ghost Track 19 is on the list there. Now, is this a new show? Like I said, Star Wars News Net's Miguel Fernandez did a great job connecting previous dots, and it could very well be Mando Season 4. Production Weekly was accurate in reporting the production of Grammar Rodeo, which turned out to be Skeleton Crew. But, however, Production Weekly has been wildly off more recently with claims of Taika's movie starting to shoot in late 2022, which, who knows, it may have been, but things move. And as well as not keeping up with the perpetual motion of the Ahsoka and Acolyte production schedules. But again, that's kind of the nature of the beast. So that's kind of the setup. Here's the questions. Joseph, Jennifer, is this Mando Season 4?
Jen? You know, I go back and forth. It could be. Mm-hmm. I don't even know Production Weekly. This was all brand new to me. Mm-hmm. And just the name alone, to me, I'd be like, oh, that sounds totally trustworthy and reliable. Yes, they're reporting on the status of things. But the more that you start to dig, I'm like, are they? And do I trust that source? And so I don't know how I feel about all this, but it could be Mando season 4. Maybe. I wouldn't put money on it, though.
That's the bet. Joseph, what do you have on Mando season 4?
I like our Canto Bite betting episodes, whether or not we will put any Star Wars credits down on this. I think Ghost Track 17 is an 8-episode show of just Obi-Wan and Anakin bickering inside the Force itself. That's what I think it's all about. Mando season 4 would make sense timeline-wise, I think, particularly if they don't want another 2-year break between official Mandalorian seasons. You know, to me, I do kind of tend to think of it as the Mandoverse, and then Boba Fett is very much part of that. But if they really want to get moving and keep moving on Mando and want to have, you know, Mando season 4 out, you know, around March of 2024. We're 2023 now. If they want to have it out in another year, November of 2024, it makes sense that they're wrapping up the last bits and pieces of Mando season 3, that they're moving on to Mando season 4.
Well handled by both of you here. Well handled. Mando season 4 seems like the choice to me. It could be a new show, and that's the other question here. But I'll go into this here, and then we'll go some final thoughts and maybe have fun with what it might be. This is, again, I want to shout him out because I'm just absolutely taking this theory here from Miguel Fernandez, who I don't know personally at all, just said, is Ghost Track 19 a reference to the hidden track on the Beatles album Abbey Road? Track 19, otherwise known as Her Majesty. Her Majesty is a pretty nice girl. I could go on. Making this show, my question to you all, this is from me. Is this a show, Her Majesty, about Bo-Katan, or a prequel show about Duchess Satine? Discuss.
I want Duchess Satine flashbacks somewhere in the Mandoverse. That's all I really care about. Maybe Disney Plus shows can start having Easter eggs, and if you hit the right button, you get a Duchess Satine flashback. That would be great. Bo-Katan seems like a possibility to me. Yeah, I have other thoughts just about the whole big Mandoverse, discussion, and is this a new show or not? But I can pause myself on that.
We'll go back to that one. Jen, man, she's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. This is Duchess Satine, right? It's a prequel show, right? Am I right?
That is a pretty good guess. I could see. No, I don't know if I could see it. Bo-Katan is interesting. Duchess Satine is fascinating, right? And we know that they like Mandalorians, so why not further explore the culture? But I have some other thoughts, like Joseph.
This is great. They do both love Mandalorians and Cubana sandwiches. Is this
oh my gosh, that's right. That's great.
I would love a follow up to Favreau's chef show there, because when the first episode they were on together, they were cooking up at Lucasfilm up at the ranch. And I don't think they knew each other as much. I think they were still, this is the early days, you know, and I want to follow up to see what their dynamic is in the kitchen now together there. Well, you both have a lot of thoughts, and I want to hear those thoughts on a new show, The Mandoverse overall. Joseph, what do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I thought about with this question of, is this Mando season 4? Is this a new show? What do we want the new show to be? I think I just realized that I'm less concerned in individual shows and more interested in this big picture of the Mandoverse. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Din was our kind of, he's disconnected from the galaxy to a point of comedy where he doesn't know what Jedi is. He doesn't even know the history of the Mandalorians really in the big picture fully. And then it blossoms out into this whole story of the era. You know, we've been talked a lot about how the Bad Batch is about the Bad Batch, but it's also there are tour guides to this era right when the Empire took over. And I kind of get the sense that, you know, with some of the announcements that happened, you know, in that Disney presentation a while back about the New Republic show, right? And about the fact that Mandalorian and Ahsoka and these other shows were going to build into a big, you know, team up show. Like, I think all those which shows are coming out is probably in flux. I think my opinion is that Favreau and Filoni know the big picture of the Mandoverse, like that they know where Din and Grogu's journey ends, that they know the fate of Mandalore, they know Ahsoka's fate, they know how much this story is going to tie into the beginnings of the First Order, you know, what it has to say about the New Republic, about the new Jedi. I think that they know where it all ends, And I think they're leaving themselves really open as they go of how do we tell that story? Which show do we tell what parts of that story in? How much of the shows overlap and intertwine versus how much are they going to come together in a big special team up versus how much are we going to break that part of the story off and make it its own show? That's the stuff that's interesting to me and relevant to, you know, is it going to, I just don't think they're spiraling off. I don't think this is like back in the day of like Happy Days gets a spinoff and now Laverne and Shirley have a show, you know? I don't think it's about that. I think it's about we were telling this big story. Yeah. What's the best way to package it into individual shows?
So what you're saying is Mork and Mindy is coming to Star Wars.
Exactly.
First of all, Jed, I want to get you that scenario. I don't want to cut you off here. Joseph, you also just reminded me of what the question I heard on that Alex and Molly Star Wars Explained Q&A was the build up to a, I think it was phrased in the question as a Avengers-like crossover event. Now,
yes,
Kathleen
did say something like, hey, it's leading up to something, but that's all. That's all we have. And so there's a large, again, no one's fault. This is just something I like to point out. You know, there's no guarantee that it is a retelling of the Thrawn trilogy this or that. It could be Boba Fett, Fennec Shan, and Din Djarin and Bo-Katan have dinner. And that's a crossover event at the end of the series. Who knows? I do agree with you, Joseph. I think they know what they want to build to, but the path there is open. It's just not necessarily wildly open. But yeah, that was the question that reminded me of like, well, I want to be careful in treating that as I'd call it a fact because we heard Kathleen Kennedy say it, but what kind of fact or how big that fact is or what the event might be, there's a big wide open space there. And suddenly, if you get to Mando season 5 and Mara Jade, Talon Card, Joris Kaboa, and Thrawn aren't there and you're upset, I just want to make sure I'm pumping the brakes 2 years out. That's all. You remind me of that.
And I feel like that presentation, it was, you know, exciting. It's one of my favorite kind of memories as a Star Wars fan with just the boatload of news, a lot of which has come to pass. It also feels like that was 72 years ago, and there are many things announced there that don't appear to be happening. Rangers of the New Republic doesn't appear to be happening unless this show. The Rogue Squadron movie with Patty Jenkins with the full-on trailer. Not happening right now, you know, on hold. So, yeah, we can't cling to everything that was announced there is verbatim.
Including, hey, Donald Glover, when do you want to be Lando again? Asks Kathleen Kennedy. Yes. So there you go. Jen, I knew you had some thoughts I want to get to. I'm sorry. I had that finger snapping. That was the question. So what do you got there?
That's actually where my mind started heading after you were talking, Joseph, because that would be kind of amazing to have all the Mandoverse come together in one giant spectacle. It's something that I never thought that I would want, but now I kind of want that. that would get a lot of Disney Plus subscribers, right? And at the end of the day, that's what this is about. So that's something that I never thought could happen, but I would love it. So my mind initially was like, oh, maybe it's an origin story for Din, you know, and the Children of the Watch and like exploring that. And then reality set in. And I was like, what if this ghost track is like an animated show, like a limited series, kind of like Tales of the Jedi. And maybe it's like about, I was going to say Yoda, Grogu and his species. Maybe they dive into that a little bit, answer some of those questions. I don't know. I feel like it's like with that Dust Bunnies. What was the one with Grogu and the Dust Bunnies, right? And I don't know. I had built it up in my mind, and it was really freaking short. it was fun. I loved it, but it was cute, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to build Ghost Track 17 up too much in my mind to then just be like, yes, here is a special episode.
Yeah.
Animated thing. So. No shade to animation. Love animation. Yeah.
No. I love the whole Grogu thing. Joseph, go ahead.
Is it Ghost Track 17 or 19?
Oh, is it? What is it?
I'm looking at Ghost Track 17 as the notes here, but let me make sure.
Okay, yeah. Okay, because you said 19 a couple times, Ken, so I got concerned didn't know. Are there three shows, Ghost Track 17, 18, and 19?
It could be.
Ghost Track 17 is what the article says. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the Ghost Track was for the Cracker song, Euro Trash Girl, which was a hidden track that came 7 minutes after the last track. Try queuing that up as a rock DJ.
Wow.
Sorry if I said it wrong there. So many numbers in my head. 4. Yeah. 17, 18. Great stuff here. Joseph, anything more on there? I really like what you're both saying here. I love the ideas. I love the idea of a spinoff series of Grogu's home planet. Poochie goes back to his home planet. Grogu goes back to his home planet.
Grogu's really dark years. Leave Ahsoka says, like, well, somebody took him from the Jedi Temple, saved him from Order 66. We know that. And then for a long time, darkness. And then Din. This part of me is like kind of just never wants to know. What poor Grogu went through. I don't think that Rangers of the New Republic show as announced, it was nothing more than a title and a graphic. I don't think whatever iteration of that is, there's been no noise about that. But I would love a show in the Mandoverse from the New Republic perspective. We've talked a lot about loving Teva Carson, right? Wanting to pull in good old Shriv. But I'm fascinated with the New Republic in this era. I love the way they're presented in The Mandalorian, that a lot of people think they're not living up to their big talk. There's still plenty of, you know, problems in the galaxy. They're barely policing the Outer Rim. And yet every time they show up in Mandalorian, everybody's like, oh, bleep, X-Wings, we're in such trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that they're being shown to have true power, but how do they feel about it all? I would love that perspective.
I absolutely agree with that one there. We got one final story here, but any final thoughts on this? We have a lot of thoughts on this, clearly. One of the things I was going to ask is just, I put this question of, do we even want a new show from this team / Mandoverse right now? I didn't mean that in our notes to frame it negatively, but just like, there's also a lot of areas in Star Wars I want to get to, and only so much room on the slate and so much room in the budgets that I wouldn't mind if they being some ubiquitous Bob Iger, some ubiquitous power out there in Disney, going, Filoni, Favreau, stop, concentrate on Mando, and we're going to do some other shows here as well. And I don't even know where that comes from in my heart, because I've loved everything they put out there. I don't know. So any thoughts, any final thoughts on this here, Jen?
I love John and Dave. They are just fun, and they're like a great combination of fun adventure with deep mystical lore. And I think what really makes me so excited about whatever they do is that they are excited. They have fun working together, and they're excited about these projects. And so whatever they want to give me, I will happily accept it, because I just know that their heart is in it. I think that they'll both decide when their heart is no longer in it, and they'll step away and or take a break or whatever. But if they want to give us more, yeah, give me more. Yeah. Whatever you got.
Yeah. You know, and I'll pitch it here, Joseph. You maybe think, I had this thought the other day about Favreau. I love that Favreau's finally been like, got to Star Wars, always wanted to get to Star Wars. I've been writing these scripts in my room for years. Now he's here. But, you know, he is a filmmaker as well as an actor, lest we forget, outside of Star Wars as well. And I'm just wondering if there's ever going to be a moment where he's like, you know what? I'm going to go make, a live action version of Favreau Goes West or something like that, which that was not a Disney property. And that he would step aside from Star Wars, because I know there's a lot of this, you know, hand him the reins. Every new show, someone wants to hand someone the reins of Star Wars. And I just wonder if he's ever going to be like, great, this was a lot of fun. It's time for me to get on down the road, or at least take a break.
I think some of my kind of opinion and take that there's a big picture of the Mandoverse is coming from what they have said during, you know, interviews and at Celebration. You know, we were in the room there when he was like, I love Star Wars. I'm so happy to do this. And this is what I'm going to be doing for the next several years. Right. So that's why I'm not looking at it or thinking about it as, hey, Pelimoto is going to get a spinoff just because. Right. I think they have a story to tell, and they're figuring out how many seasons, how many shows it's going to take to tell it. And I think Favreau is in this kind of great place where he's accomplished a lot, and he could probably just pause and go do whatever he wants, you know? Mm-hmm. But what he seems to want to do, because he said it out loud, like, I'm going to be doing Star Wars for the next several years, and I'm happy about it. I think he's going to finish this story in whatever amount of seasons and shows it takes, and then... Yeah. You know, we'll see what's next.
No, that's great. A great reminder of that moment, too. And happy he's here. I've been a fan of his 4 years, big fan of the movie Swingers and beyond. So love having him around, playing with his toys. That's all he's doing. Just playing with his toys. That's all,
right.
All he's doing. Final story of the day here. I want to give thanks to Joseph. I was lost in the tidal wave of rumors, getting a little grumpy about it. He goes, what about this? what about this story? And I remember we used to report on more toy stuff out there. This is a toy find. Over 300 pristine original Kenner figures were found in a collector's closet in Chicago, and all are going to auction. It's dubbed the Morphe find. The values, woof, it's a lot. So first of all, what would we do with this find? But I also got to start with this question. I thought about this one this morning. I would be very aware if I had 300 figures just sitting in a closet. I know I don't go in my storage a lot, but I have a relatively good idea what's in my storage right now. I'm always fascinated by the stories of, oh, I was digging in a box and found the original recording of the Beatles' first song. Like, how was that there for years? That's just one acetate or something. Like, this is 300 pristine Kenner figures, which means at some point you went to like a J.J. Newberry in 80 and bought all of them or collected them or had them, and they were just in the closet. Sometimes, I'm not saying I'm suspicious, like someone's sitting on it and now's the time, the value's right. Let's say I found them. It's just, it always blows my mind that these are just sitting around somewhere. So anyways, thoughts on this story. We'll start diving in, Joseph.
Yeah, I mean, I think the person who bought them is kind of for their kids, but also for speculating, and I think might have got them like directly from either like the back room of a store or from Kenner, because I think they were in boxes. I think that's part of the reason that they were pristine, is like they weren't like up on a shelf or that they were still in like the boxes of like, here's your six Princess Leias, you know, in this box. And I think that idea of, you know, somebody who just kind of buys up some things that like, yeah, they're making a lot of noise now. Are they going to be valuable? I don't know, maybe. And then lose track of it. Part of the reason this resonated with me is because I'm obsessed with action figures, and the photos of this on Facebook, if you go to Dan Morphy's Facebook page, are gorgeous, amazing. But also I just had this experience, I think I talked about, where I was at home with my dad going through some old photos and found all these photos of the first time I got Star Wars action figures. And just all of my relatives just like, these are the hot new thing, here you go, kid. And my dad understands that Star Wars is a big deal, and he always tells me like, hey, I ran into another Star Wars fan, that thing, it's amazing, that thing's just not never gonna die, is it, you know? But from his perspective, it's this thing I like when I was a kid that's still going. And we found this photo of me getting the original Star Wars Luke Skywalker. And I was like, Dad, do you know how much that action figure costs now? He's like, no. I was like, that one, unless there's something special about it, I don't remember, is $3,000. And he was like, what? Holy bleep. I just think there's this perspective of, I know it's a big deal. I didn't realize it was that big of a deal because I was an adult when it came out.
I love that. I love that take on it there. Jen, what do you have in your closet?
You know, it reminds me, because I've been helping my mom clean out her house. She has so much stuff that she kept or that she forgot about from the 80s. I've been finding all sorts of gems. So I can see how this would happen. If you have a big enough place and you have a lot of stuff and a lot of boxes, which I'm guessing as a collector he might have, I can see how this would happen. And I just went to his Facebook page, Joseph, and you're right. He's like, he seems genuinely like happy and surprised. Mm-hmm. A total warehouse find. Like, he's shocked that he had this treasure trove of all these action figures, and just seeing them all like laid out so perfectly. They are just in mint condition. What a find. Oh,
yeah.
I wish there's a reaction video I would love to see when he discovered that.
There you go. You all change. And I want to shout out before we continue this, in our Force Center Discord, one of our listeners, friends of the show, Gareth Bartlett, who's a great documentary filmmaker out there in the UK, and followed by Andrea Core on Twitter of the Core, is one of my favorite little facts about Gareth. He posted in the Discord that he had just discovered a bunch of 1977 Topps Star Wars trading cards.
Wow.
In pretty good condition. He posted them in our Discord. A lot of people checking in. And he even has a Luke Skywalker in pretty good condition. And that is something that can fetch a couple hundred if you get it in the right condition to sell. So there you go. So I stand corrected. A lot of people just have things that you don't really sure about, which I'm going to go out to my shed today in the rain. So Gareth, good find there yourself there. What would we do with this find? Jed, you go to your closet and you're like, Oh man, I forgot I had 300 pristine Kenner figures here. Would you keep them? Would you let them go to auction? Let someone handle it. Obviously there's some money involved. I get that aspect of it. But there's a part of me, like maybe 20%, that would be like, oh no, I've got to keep these. I can't let these go.
I mean, there's 300. There's three of us, 100 each. You do with your share what you will, right?
Is this the end of the Soderbergh Ocean's 11? We're all just going to slowly walk away at the fountain?
I just started watching Kaleidoscope on Netflix, which is like about a heist. So that's where my brain went. We split it up. Take your share. It's like an embarrassment of riches when you have 300. Like, what do? Do you donate it to a museum? I mean, I want to keep some, but it's like, it's too many. I want to be able to share it with the world or auction them off like Willy Wonka, not auction, give them away like Willy Wonka. Yeah. Tickets, golden tickets.
Charlie, you won. This is great. I love Jen's plan, Joseph, because it might make me rich. What are you going to do with this fund?
Well, I'm not going to lie. There's a few I would keep for sure.
Yes.
No doubt about it. And I would not just kind of, I would, find like some collector's case and protect them and earthquake insurance and everything to take care of my babies. But yeah, for the rest, I would want to spread the love, Mm-hmm. I'd maybe want to, do an auction, but then I'd maybe want to think like, do I just want to hoard that money or in the spirit of Star Wars, do I want to do something good with it? Do I want to do some, giveaways for charity so somebody could get one of these amazing action figures for free, that kind of thing. So I would try to balance my own desperation for them all and sharing them in a way that would hopefully be productive.
You both are hitting it right. You little for me, a little for you. That's the way it could work there. I would definitely, if you have repeats, you have doubles. I'm keeping one of each. Definitely gonna do that. Sell some for charity. That can work. This is easier said than done. I had a YouTube company in 2021. We tried half of every bit of profit we tried to donate to charity until the accountant wrote me at one point and said, we can't do this anymore. We're going broke. You have to be careful. But it's a light side, dark side test. It's very tempting to go on eBay and just look at those numbers. It's tempting. It's tempting. Yeah. It'd be hard not to. But yeah, I'm with you, Joseph. Oh, I got five Lukes, one for me, the rest, maybe two for me. All right, three for me, one open. I'll open one, which would seem scary. Any figures, going back to this original, I mean, they got, Death Squad Commander. This is all the original Kenner stuff. Any figures you'd want to bid on, and how high would you be prepared to go, Jen? An original Leia, original Han, what do you got here?
Mm-hmm. I want the Leia in a Bausch disguise. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Of course, all 8 Ewoks, please. Of course. I liked the Ponda Baba, but he's, on his card, it's like Walrus Man. That right there is fantastic. Yeah. But I love them all. They're all just so precious.
That's Bausch is a great call. Great call there. Joseph, you made me think there's a one Kenner one I'd want of the Ewoks. It's the forgotten Ewok. Do you all know which one I'm talking about? We got our Tebows and our Poplus and our Chirpers and Logres.
Lumat, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's that's the one. That's the one. He's forgotten. He's an overlooked Ewok from the vintage Kenner era. I think I'd want to get a hold of that one there, but I can't look it up here online right now.
Because I have a lot of these, not all, all out of the package and loved, but Lumat's just like your super basic Ewok.
Lumat, you're so right. There's a Warwick and a Ramba, Warok and a Ramba as well. Jen, I'm going to need you to do a documentary on these forgotten Ewoks.
Yeah, this is, the six complete vintage Star Wars Ewok action figures on eBay, including Lumont and Paplu, $475. And they're not even in the case. They're just like loose.
Yeah. I'm looking at a Lumont is going for $750. This is big business.
Roomba, I'm saying Roomba because he's cleaning my carpet right now. Ramba and Warwick were from 1985. So they're Power of the Force, Last Line. That's
yeah, they're the end. They were the ones that you could find when you couldn't find Stormtrooper Luke, who I coveted.
There you go. Joseph, I think I didn't let you answer there. Who are you plunking a lot of money down on?
Yeah, so like I think for me, like I said, I'm lucky to have a lot of these, not all of them by any means, but the, you know, my loose original figures, some of them in very rough shape. And part of the reason I love action figures is just like not just the figure, but the art of the card in the frozen moment in time. So that's what would make me want it, you know. To me, the Walrus Man action figure with that like weird photo, like, you know, some of the photos are like on the cards are like famous publicity stills. Chewbacca's, you know, picture on his card is like a famous publicity still from, or freeze frame from A New Hope. Right. And Walrus Man's is just sort of like his production photo. You know, it's like his ID for his day job, you know?
Yeah.
And then the picture of him right on the card, which looks so different when what the actual action figure is wearing. And then you'd get to pick, do I want one with the free send away for free Boba Fett sticker or without? Because they have both. Ah, so much great variety. So I want that. I think I've lost my original Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that's the one I would probably like bid on if I had the money.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to go. I mean, obviously, I'm going to, you know, maybe try to collect some Hans. That's a great choice on Bausch with that Leia. I think Combat Poncho Leia, all the ones that I never got. Again, this is or didn't keep from my infamous garage sale loss of the figures in 84. 80, 45 range. So yeah, those were, but a Kenobi popped into my mind and Kenobi Vader like that. I might be still basking in the glory of 2022 here with Kenobi and Vader in the rematch, but I think I would love to bid on those figures. I'd have to sell figures I find first to fund buying these figures, but
yeah,
the Panero, that's where I'd go.
Original Leia too. There's just something so clean and so, just precise about, you know, this character. And, and I never had original Leia, and it's a wound that must be healed someday.
Yep, right. Same with like original Lando, all those kind of things there as well. Yeah. Final question. And Joseph, we'll start with you here. Which of these figures might appear on Figure Fights coming your way February on the Force Center YouTube channel?
Eventually, all of them. But to start with, Prune Face is a big contender because, come on, I love that there's just an action figure very late in the run named Prune Face. I didn't even really give him a Star Wars blaster. He comes with like this, you know, rifle that looks like it was, you know, stolen out of a Lone Ranger action figure. Yeah. And then the one that's making a ton of news here, the double telescoping lightsaber Luke, the one that only came with the early bird packaging, early bird sendaway thing, and has the ridiculously disturbingly double long yellow lightsaber.
Right.
It's the one that's going to go for like $20,000.
Jen, you'll be appearing on Figure Fights from time to time. Any of these figures you want to see in action?
I want a Cantina Brawl for sure. Right? Between quote unquote Hammerhead, aka Momona Dawn, and maybe Snaggletooth. That wouldn't be that fair of a fight now that I'm thinking about it. But you know, there's some Cantina characters that could fight. Or of course, a droid showdown could be very fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I love breakaway C-3PO. There's a lot of weapons to use.
He's got a sack.
He's got a vinyl sack. Well, fun story to end our discussion on the news there. Big toy find. What would you do with those toys? Let us know. Before we head on out of here, we're going to go to This Week in Star Wars History, looking ahead to Star Wars Pass, though this one is actually at the time of the release of this episode, yesterday, but on the day that we're recording. Do you follow that? Here we go. On January 9th, 1987, Star Tours opened up at Disneyland in Anaheim, California, the first attraction at the theme park to feature IP that was not original to Disney. The motion simulator ride cost $32 million to make, $500,000 for each of the four military grade motion simulators I was looking up. And it was open for 60 hours straight from January 9th to January 11th of 1987. The ride featured Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Ben Burtt as R2-D2 for what it's worth there. We're putting together sounds. And of course, maybe most famously, at least for me, this peewee kid of the 80s, Paul Rubens as the Star Tours pilot, Captain RX-24, a.k.a. Rex. Now he's at the Cantina spinning tunes. Though the ride has undergone many changes over the years, it has remained mostly the same and keeps taking fans into the Star Wars story and maybe making them sick along the way. What is our relationship with this ride and this big debut? Now, Joseph, I do want to start with you. You were not blessed to be in Southern California like Jen and I were. You probably were watching from afar. That might be the start of your journey.
Oh, yes. This, I remember hearing about this because, you know, 87 at that time, it, you know, from my youthful perspective, it felt like 40 years, you know, it's been 84 years since Star Wars was popular. So I was thrilled to see on the news that a Star Wars thing was happening. But it's like, great. I also understand that sometimes people go to the moon. I will never be there. It was utter fantasy to me that I could experience this. So I was like, cool. Great. Congrats to those people who will get to experience this. I never will. My family did not travel. We didn't have money. So it was utter fantasy to me.
Good for you. Yeah.
I wasn't that bitter about it, but it was just one of those like, yeah, no, that's cool. Not going to happen.
One of the big points is there is you are right. In 1987, even for me, a Star Wars loving kid, like it's like, oh, this is still going. Oh, that's amazing. More Star Wars. Other people like it. Yeah, it definitely felt like that way. We'll come back to maybe some of your later experiences, Joseph. But Jennifer, I think you kind of even grew up closer to Disneyland than me, yeah?
Yeah, I did. And I'm sad to say, I feel weird sharing this now, Joseph, hearing your story. My dad was a reporter back in the day. And at that time, Disney really courted the press, the news media. He had a silver pass. So we could go to Disneyland anytime. It was amazing. And he took me, actually, I think I shared the story in Happy Beeps. I went to the opening for Star Tours when I was a kid. It was only the media that was invited. And, you know, this was not influencer day. This was like old school reporters, a bunch of older men. And I think maybe there were a handful of kids and me. And I went on the ride with my dad and he gets terrible motion sickness. And he was like, I cannot. This was awful. But he wanted to know like what my opinion of it was, you know, because he wanted to do the story on it. That's why they invited him. And then I went on it at least like three more times. Mm. And just me and the bunch of old men. And it was mind blowing. It was like, I felt like I was in Star Wars. I could not believe that this ride had transported me into this world. And then it used to lead into the gift shop. And they had a whole wall full of Ewoks. I can still remember it. And I did not ask my dad for one. And to this day, I regret not getting that Ewok plush from Tomorrowland. Yeah.
This is beautiful. I'm happy to hear this. This sounds almost like your beginnings as a Star Wars journalist. Like, did you have your notebook out when you're like, I'm jotting down some thoughts for my article?
Yeah, well, I was trying to, like, I really was trying because I knew my dad was going to ask me questions because he was going to interview me along with other people because he's like, I don't want to interview a bunch of, like, newsmen who just went on this ride. Like, I need real people, right? And I was, like, trying to remember, okay, what emotion did I feel and what was the character's name? And, like, I was trying to analyze it. Like,
Does this footage exist anywhere? Your father, Mike, right, award-winning journalist.
You know, he probably has it somewhere, some audio of it. I should find it. And I did the same thing for Splash Mountain as well. That was really fun. And I think that was the end of that. Then they got rid of that. No.
Yeah. I'd love to see young Jed Landa going, well, that ride's kind of problematic, but I enjoyed it. That's amazing. If you could find that footage of that audio and
that's make gold. Short,
you've got gold.
That's amazing. Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Ken, what was your experience?
Well, it's definitely not as cool as that. But I was local enough, about 3 hours away. My grandparents lived, in fact, the house is still there. They only passed away recently. Is right around the corner. Every time we'd hear the fireworks and could see them from the second level of my grandparents' house that my grandfather built by himself in 1970. So we did get to go. And this article actually helped zero in for me when I went, because I've always thought that I was I went relatively close to the opening. I do kind of remember that, but I was like, no, I better not think it is the opening. And I think I went over the spring break in 1987, which is not uncommon for us to go down to Anaheim from Central Coast, California. And because I definitely was there in the early stages. It was one of the only things, I dig it. Because I'm like you, Joseph. If it was at Mall of America, I'd be like, I'm never going there. never going to happen. We can't take a Volkswagen van or a Subaru station wagon out to Minnesota. I was fortunate and excited. Again, Joseph, you're very right. Like, that's five long years, basically, you're looking at. But 4 or 5 years from Return of the Jedi. And by this point, I'm collecting baseball cards more. And it was like, oh, this is the thing. And it was a lot of fun. I can't go on the ride now. I get sick now. Did not as a kid. So whiskey and Star Tours, things I've lost over the last few years that I can't have. But I really loved it. And I'm one of those ones that can get pulled in. I've even on this podcast feed complained about some of the newer updates of Star Tours are so not canon. It bothered me. Like sitting in the ride going, Finn wouldn't show up here. What are you talking about? But I love it. I love the legacy of the ride. I love that Ryan Johnson designed with his team crate and the crate sequence with the Falcon to impart, inspired by Star Tours. And now it's part of Star Tours. I love that. I love that story. I love the legacy. And I love that once again, Star Wars is there at the forefront. We had this partnership emerged out of Captain EO. Yeah. And through that, they go into this and Lucas and everyone have this made. You had Imagineers working with Lucas, Industrial Lights and Magic people on this ride. Fascinating. And now it's, we associate Disney with other brands, clearly, as their portfolio has grown and will maybe continue to grow over the years. This was one of the first times I remember that Disney, it could be connected with another thing that wasn't itself, right? Because it turns out it was. But I think even looking back, and I remember, when the sale happened, it just kind of seemed like, well, yeah, that it wasn't it always part of Disney? wasn't it always there? Totally knew Lucasfilm was its own thing. But anyways, this ride inspires a lot of memories that get me choked up.
Yeah, no, and it's fascinating to think of this ride as the beginning of, what might eventually lead to the sale that Disney has had its ups and downs as documented by their own documentaries, the, Industrial Light and Magic documentary, but that the company has tried to keep storytelling and the magic of storytelling alive while also being a company designed to make as much money as humanly possible. But that experience that Lucas had with, while being a giant corporation company, you're still trying to keep this magic of storytelling. Mm. That this might, be the beginning of when he's going to sell Star Wars, this is who else is he going to sell it to? Like, it's pretty fascinating to look at the Star Tours for the beginning of all that is to come.
If you could go ask George right now, if you could go back in time, would you take it to Universal Studios?
No. But I love the ride now. I'm really, really lucky because I didn't mean to be a total bummer about my reaction in 1987.
No, I was honest.
No.
Glad that I was wrong in 1987. I wish I could experience the very original ride. I did a podcast many years ago with my friend Molly Lewis, phenomenal singer, songwriter. Check her out on TikTok. She doesn't have a ton of videos, but the ones that are there are hilarious, including a great song about Ponda Baba. Early episode of Obsessed that we did live, she was talking about being obsessed with Star Tours because she lived nearby. And recited the entire ride verbatim, accurately on a podcast. That was how deeply she knew it. So I'm bummed that I never got to experience the original version. But it's so immersive. It's so fun. I love it. I love waiting in line. And there's the snarky baggage droid who says, "You're headed to Mustafar. Why?" and just going through Geonosis and the seismic charges, and it's so nice and straightforward. You just get to whoosh through Star Wars worlds, and it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember being in line as a kid, whether from 87 or even into the 90s, when I would go a little bit more, wondering, where were these ships in Return of the Jedi? Were they part of the fight? Love it. Well, there you have it. A look back, a look ahead, whatever you want to say. We're looking at Star Tours, the history and legacy of a lot there. So what are your memories of Star Tours? Do you have any pictures? Were you interviewed by Jen's dad in 1987? Do you have clips of it? Please let us know. We're almost out of here today, but before we do, we're going to let you know where you can find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're also on Hive Social at Force Center. We are on Instagram and, as we mentioned, YouTube Figure Fights coming soon. Which one of those pristine Kenner figures will appear on it? We'll find out. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of spots: Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. A couple of our Force Center friends in Discord posted that they got like the prequelist shirt and everything in advance of Star Wars Celebration London. So, hey, head to that if you want to do it as well. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. My new podcast of Blathering drops on the Napsok Network podcast feed tomorrow. So check that out. Jen, where can they find you and any old clips of interviews with you?
I'll have to ask my dad. He'll be tickled that we talked about that. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube at Jennifer Landa, TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. And I'm coming out of vacation mode to start making some things again. I will get there. I will get there. So stay tuned for that.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Joseph, where can I find you or any old interviews you were on?
Well, I don't want people to find my old interviews. I was going to almost say an old interview I did. I don't want people digging for it. Anyway, a little mystery is good. You can find me now on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw, Instagram in particular. I would love to build. I'm still on Twitter, on Hive, on Mastodon. Just search for Joseph Scrimshaw, all those places. I will get back to making some not unboxing videos on TikTok and YouTube. But like Jennifer, I've been in recovering from vacation and getting to work on a bunch of other creative stuff mode. But that is coming soon. I also do have, hopefully by the end of the month, I have a new short film that I'll be putting out on YouTube. So go find me on YouTube.
Amazing. Absolutely. Go do it. I have maybe some newspaper articles from the Times Press Recorder in Arroyo Grande. That's about it for me. No.
That's cool.
There you go, everybody. Thank you for listening today through the rumors, through the history, and the toy collections out there. A lot of fun. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.